go. Excellent. Why don't you come on up?
Yeah, I would have had paper for my printer, but I did last night.
So thank you, Mr. Young, for agreeing to present early. We've received and read your original submission. Thank you for that. You don't need to read that out to us, but you're very welcome to speak to it and highlight key points for us.
Okay, thanks very much. Yeah, Robert Young, along with my wife Stacey, we farm 1,000 hectares just between Pukui and Kaiwera. It's split out four properties. We own three and lease another. The home place has been in the family for over 140 years. The family's always looked after the farm with the aim of providing something better for the future generations and will continue to do so. It's a mixed farm on predominantly bedrock hill country. Sheep breeding finishing. We also buy and finish lambs and cattle. And we also do dairy support, including grazing heifers, growing barley, wintering cows. This year we have 120 hectares of winter crop. This is for our own stock and for dairy cows. We've grazed dairy cows for about 20 years. We've had a reasonable amount of experience with it. In that time, wintering has changed a lot, and we've done our best to abide by the rules that have come in over the years, whether it be by trimming water schemes, recycling baleage wrap, and initiating setbacks. I'd just like to touch on three areas of the plan briefly. The physiographical zones. My only issue there, the main issue is there's no ability to question the accuracy of the maps, and I just like the ability in there to appeal that. Stock exclusions, I take on board what you said there before about it could be taken out of hands on a national level, but from my point of view, it's just time frames are too short. It just can't happen as quickly as what's been suggested in the draft plan. We've got 35 kilometres of waterway to fence off. It doesn't happen overnight. And I think the biggest issue for a lot of people is not fencing, but actually providing alternate water for the stock. Because a lot in that situation haven't got water schemes. In our case, when I did my submission, we had another 260 hectares to do. And at the time, I thought that was going to cost me about 80,000. We've since done that, it was 120,000. So there's a reasonable amount of cost there. Mm. But outside that, there's just simply not the contractors out there to get the work done in the time frame that they're allowed. It just can't happen. Intensive winter grazing. The 50 hectare area cut off before you have to apply for consent. I feel it lacks logic, lacks fairness, and it doesn't achieve the environmental goals you're looking for. We've all seen over the years you have like an 80 or 100 hectare runoff block in central Southland, putting half the land into crop each year. Not ideal for the environment, and yet this would slip under the radar with a 50 hectare cutoff. And yet the guy with 2,500 hectares in the hill country wouldn't need to apply for consent simply to winter his own use. That just doesn't seem to apply any logic at all. In my case, I've got farm over four blocks, two of them separate, no need for consents there. The other, my lease block and the block I own, totaling 500 hectares between them, I'd end up needing to apply for consent for that. The logic just doesn't seem to be there. In my original submission, I'd suggested 20% as a reasonable amount. Like, I accept that probably 15% as was in the original draft plan. I think that would be a more logical way of approaching things. Previous land use. Winter grazing should only be limited by the rules for the physiographical zone, not by previous land use. Like in my case, I bought a farm February 2016. It had very traditional winter cropping, maybe red grass stuff in 3 years. Come May 2018, the 3 year average for that is going to be well under the 50 hectare. There's no scientific reason why I shouldn't be able to operate under the same rules as the neighbouring properties, because that would limit that. Other areas, cultivation setbacks. Look, I agree setbacks are needed, and we've seen the results in the past where they're not big enough. For me, every square metre of buffer costs me about 50 cents of net income. It doesn't sound a lot, but this year I've got 4.5 k's of setback. So it adds up to quite a bit of money. Now this year I set up all our setbacks as per the notified plan, just to see how it worked. From doing that, I just felt generally I was okay with it, but I felt like it needed to be graduated a little more. Going from 3 metres at 4 degrees through to and then having 10 metres right through to 16 just didn't seem to cut it. I felt that it needed another gap in there between 4 and 10 degrees at 5 metres, just so it graduated things a bit more. Uh-huh. Just didn't seem to be great to the logic. But then like coming back to the section 42A report suggesting that 9 degrees is a cut-off between 5 and 20 metres. Like, I just struggled to see the logic of having to increase the setback by 15 metres when you go from 8 degrees to 10 degrees. That I think most stroke farmers would struggle just seeing the point there. Getting them uptake would be difficult. I think if we adopt this direction, I still think there needs to be an intermediate stage in there. I don't know, maybe 10 to 16 degrees at 10 metres, something like that. That would be my thought. Mm-hmm. Cultivation greater than 20 degrees. I agree that anything over 20 degrees is generally too steep to work. Well, when I first saw it, I thought, well, that's not very steep. But when I actually got out there and actually measured it and looked at it, yeah, I had no problems with that, except for the often is just a little bit of paddock that just needs to be done for safety purposes or just pure practicality. I just think there needs to be a little bit of flexibility there. I think conclusion, while I agree with the water and land plan's objectives, I don't like the way that it's very prescriptive in its nature rather than based on results. And if it's going to be so prescriptive, you need to get the details right. The plan needs to be fair and based on science, both for us and for future generations. That's what I've got to say.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you very much. Let's see if we have questions for you, Mark.
That was very clear. I did have a couple, but you've actually covered them in your talk today, so that's great. Thank you very much.
Edward?
Yes, thank you. Just on the setbacks and your calculations on the loss that you would face with every metre.
Yep.
So you wouldn't be look favourably at just one distance, 5 metres.
Our land really varies in contour. And I like the idea of having it a little more graduated because, like we've seen in the past, when it was just a 3 metre setback there, we've seen it when it's a bit it's steeper and you get the mud overflow into the creeks. And I accept that we need, like as things get steeper, we do need bigger setbacks of grass in order to stop that overflow, overland flow. But it's just getting as, I think it can be oversimplified. And I think having a cut-off at 9 degrees is an oversimplification. And it just, having to have a 20-metre setback at 10 degrees is ridiculous, and it would cost me a lot of money, and achieve nothing.
With your four properties, which are separate, you must have quite a range of variations then?
No, it's all within 5 or 6 k's of each other, so it's similar land types.
Sorry.
Yeah, probably more variation within property. We go from basically flat up to steep stuff that's classic with count work.
Thank you.
And in your primary submission of one, reflecting on the correct one, you made some comments about the science of physiographic zones being a bit unproven. Is that you?
At the time, that was what I was sort of getting.
If we had an update on that.
Yeah, I have learned a little more since then, yeah. I appreciate you've got to approach it from some direction, and that's what you've chosen as the best fit. It's not perfect, but it's heading in the right direction.
So on your property, which I think it's bedrock.
We have a couple of little areas where oxidised and lignite. We're looking at it, I know that the boundaries are wrong, and
So it's more about where the boundaries are than the science about the nature of the zones.
Well, yeah, I'm probably wasting time arguing the science.
We're not arguing, we're just trying to find some stuff.
My issue is with the mapping.
Okay.
It works fine at a regional level, but once you get down to a farm specific level, it's probably not accurate enough.
Thank you.
Owen?
I'm just trying to pick up on your slopes, the 9 degrees that the 42A report mentioned, and it's been picked up a couple of times that when you go from 8 degrees to 10 degrees, and there's always discussion about what is the average angle, there seems to be quite a big difference in approach. Is there a way that the farm management plan could actually pick that up? In other words, a setback was agreed for those paddocks through that management plan that would actually overcome some of that very black and white 10 metres this way or 10 metres that way.
I guess you could look. I simply, for working up the slopes, I simply used a map on my phone and went around and looked at that. And so I went and walked the creeks before the contractors hit the ground and used the electric fence tenders to mark out where they needed to go to. And that worked relatively simply.
So we've seen a number of photos and a number of, we've been on some farms, and there is sort of, regardless of what the rule says, there are some logical places where you put the fence, and they may be more or less than what is actually stated in the plan. Did you feel afterwards that you were happy with, generally, happy where the fences were for management purposes?
Generally, it was probably more, because I was looking at from 4 through to 16 degrees and 10 metres, it was probably some of that stuff that was in that 5 to 9 area that I just felt was more than it needed to be. It's been a slightly better winter than normal, but we've still had some fairly wet times occasionally, and we haven't had the dirty overflow from a crop has maybe gone a metre or two. It hasn't gone 10 metres, and it just seemed like far too far.
Thank you. And my last question, I just can't find in the plan, but I just look in the wrong section quickly, but your understanding of land holding for a consent for winter grazing.
Yes.
You mentioned that it was per block by block, you're okay.
Well,
but on a common land holding, which I'm sure the plan refers to, I just can't find the actual wording. You would probably need a consent.
Okay,
I was just wondering whether what is the logical approach that you would like? Is the 40-year report recommended that is correct, or would you like it on
I'd like a 15%
across the board.
15% threshold over which you need to get consent. That's what I
thought. On per land holding or on management? There's quite
from my perspective, it wouldn't make any difference. I guess if the reason it was explained to me originally why it was on separate land holdings rather than management units was because, say for example, a dairy runoff and a dairy farm could split the cultivated area as a percentage over the whole shooting match rather than just on the runoff block. So I personally think it probably still needs to be on those separate land holdings.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Young. Your point's been made very clearly. I have no further questions for you.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Now we now adjourn. And we'll reconvene at 12:45.